Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. You've probably seen organic food in your grocery store. It's more expensive, but it's free of pesticides and antibiotics, and it's non-GMO. Organic food is becoming easier to find as mass retailers like Walmart are realizing their customers are willing to pay more for organic food. WPSU's Aaron Cassidy Hendrick talks with Lewis Goldstein about how and why his food company is meeting that demand. Goldstein is Vice President of Brand Marketing for Organic Valley.
To start off, what makes Organic Valley a different food company?
You know, we're a farmer-owned cooperative, so we're owned by 1,800 family farmers. Our mission is solely to promote sustainable farming for family farmers so that they can survive, so they can pass it on to future generations, and to do it through organic food.
And since you are a marketing professional, how do you think this affects the mission of Organic Valley? How do you approach marketing differently with Organic Valley than you would another company?
What I love about this organization is that there is no BS. It's all real. We are not making up any story. And having worked on other brands that don't have authenticity, you make it up as a marketer. And there is nothing that's not real about Organic Valley. So my job and my team's job is to tell the story of these farmers. When people hear our story, and I like to say, and I say to my team, and they're tired of hearing it, but if we could bring every consumer to an Organic Valley farm, they'd be a consumer for life. But we can't bring every consumer there. But our job as marketers is to bring the farm to consumers, whether it's through social media, whether it's through education, whether it's through whatever it is, to bring the consumer to the farm, even if it's only in their when they're looking at the packaging or, you know, when they're on their computer.
And it seems like you have a bit of a more of a personal connection to the mission than you would just any other food company.
Yeah, it's surprising to me that I become more of an activist than I ever thought I would be in this role. And this one is more than just marketing, because the more successful I am, the more successful my team is, the more family farmers can produce organic milk, and the more healthier people I believe our society will have. I truly believe that as a society, what this transformation to organic food and to healthier eating, to more local food, all of this is about we're finally realizing that what we put into our bodies determines how healthy we are. You could say, well, duh, but, you know, I don't think we've always thought about that. Where are all these allergies coming from? Where are all these diseases coming from? Could it have something to do with what we're putting in our bodies? And in organic farming, what's been amazing to me to look at, when we talk to our farmers about how they care for their cows, we don't use any antibiotics. It's prohibited in organic agriculture. So if the only time an organic dairy farmer can use antibiotics is if the cow's life is in peril, then you can use antibiotics, but then the cow needs to be sold to a conventional dairy. It can never be back in the organic herd again. But what we do, as what our organic farmers do, we really look at prevention and not treatment. It's all about why did the animal get sick and then preventing it in the future. So you're not waiting for the cow to get sick. You're trying to anticipate all the reasons that cow got sick. So we have three vets on staff, and they're always available to our members because not all vets are friendly to organic, believe in organic. So we have vets that are there to answer the questions. Oh, this happened to my cow, and they use a lot of remedies that they also use on their kids because they see that they work instead of using traditional medicine.
I was going to say that actually seems like a good strategy for humans as well, not just livestock.
Yeah, it is, and it's sort of, you know, a way to treat life is to look at, okay, why did I have that headache this morning? Is it because I drank too much last night? So maybe I shouldn't drink too much. Why do I have that rash? And as opposed to just treating the rash or treating the sickness with a medicine, it's like determining why you got sick, and that's how we treat. That's how organic dairy farming and the treatment of animals in organic agriculture is approached.
And do you think that improves the taste of the final product?
I think that our products taste great because the animals are eating what the animals are supposed to eat. And our average time on pasture for our farms is they're on pasture eating grass 65% of the time. The USDA standards only require 30%. And when the animal eats what the animal is supposed to eat, the milk that comes from that animal is the best it can be.
And when you're thinking about marketing to your customers, is there a specific audience that you have in mind? Is it millennials who are more interested in organic food production, or is it maybe someone who has more disposable income who's able to spend more money on quality products? Is there someone you keep in mind when you're marketing?
We do have core consumers for different, you know, we have a large product line that goes from milk to half and half to butter to cheese to eggs. We also have produce. We also have a meat company. So we do focus. People enter organic. Usually it's a woman when she has kids. That's usually one of the key entry points for people into organic, or has traditionally been, is when when a mother has kids and she's saying, okay, she's responsible now for another life and she wants to do the best. But what we're also seeing with younger people and people who aren't just having kids is there's a greater awareness from millennials, and they over-index for their receptivity to organic food and to healthier food. So they've grown up in a culture where their parents were maybe questioning what they were eating, and encouraging, and they may have grown up in houses where they were served organic food, whether it was milk or whatever. And so now, as they become in their late teens and early 20s, these millennials are now more receptive to organic food. So what we're trying to do is develop more products that fit their lifestyle. So you're not going to be, if you're riding the subway in New York City, you're not carrying a half gallon of milk with you to drink. So we need to, as an organic industry, develop more products that fit people's lifestyles. And that's what we're working on at Organic Valley, is developing those products that fit people's lives.
And you mentioned creating products for millennials. That brings me to the Save the Bros campaign that Organic Valley has done. Can you tell me more about that and how you feel like that really speaks to millennials?
So we launched a product called Organic Fuel that is a sports recovery beverage. There's a lot of products out there, a lot of them dairy-based, a lot of them with a ton of chemicals on their label. So, you know, one of the leading ones has 43 ingredients. So what we're looking at is, okay, there are these large categories and there's nothing healthy available for someone. So Organic Fuel was created with the idea of offering consumers who, for sports recovery, is 26 grams of protein. And so if you want something healthy, Organic Fuel offers that in a resealable bottle at convenience. And so we knew we didn't have a lot of money to market it like some of the big competitors. And so we tried to create a viral campaign. So we said we were going to do something that was not necessarily something we had done before. We were going to get out of our comfort zone. We were going to take a risk. And so Save the Bros is an example of a video, and then it turned into more than that, where the idea is farcical. You know, the idea is we're going to go out there and with this drink save the bros, save these.
The bros being bodybuilders and
the bros fitness. Being the guys and that we look at, and there's a part of us that's jealous that we don't look like that, and then there's a part of us that looks at them and go and
how
says,
"Spend 3 hours in the
right,
gym every
yeah,
day."
Exactly, and so we envy and sometimes we make fun of, but it's always in a loving way. And the idea is that we're going to save the bros from extinction. And they're going to have an extinction because they're drinking these protein drinks that are loaded with different chemicals. So Organic Valley, we made fun of ourselves in the video, in that we made ourselves to be this prim and proper. Organic Valley is out there to save the world and save the bros. So we're making fun of ourselves as well as making fun of bros. And, you know, the first video got a huge amount of PR, was voted the best ad by Adweek, and probably about 5 or 6 million total views on the first video. We spent a really small amount of money compared to what other companies would spend, and it just took off. And one of the things that struck me that I talk about from this, because it is humor, and traditionally organic companies don't use humor to sell. We use cows. Personally, you know, at Organic Valley, we use cows and beautiful shots of a mother with a baby and the cow, and it's very bucolic and beautiful. and emotional in that way. And we heard from a lot of consumers that said, finally, an organic brand with a sense of humor. And it really struck me that, yes, when we talk like activists, we're talking about chemicals and disease and sickness and why organic is important for that. But we also need to remember to have a sense of humor, because life is too serious. And if we're always about these mega big subjects, you know, consumers want it to be a little lighter. So that was one of the biggest things that came out of it for me as a marketer, is to remember it doesn't always have to be heavy, and it can be light, and you can make fun, and you can joke around. And it was a big learning experience for our organization also, because it took us out of our comfort zone.
So it seems like it was a gamble that really paid off for the company.
It was a gamble. I was nervous weeks before it launched, because I was afraid the farmers were going to be really disappointed in me. And it turned out that they weren't, and they were very happy. But we definitely went out of our comfort zone. And I think it was a good lesson for us in, if we do something that no one expects, that it can be very effective and really change people's minds about what a brand is and what a brand can be.
And can you talk a little bit about your experience before you came to Organic Valley?
So I started out working for a great beer company called Boston Beer Company that makes Sam Adams and makes Twisted Tea and makes Angry Orchard Cider. So I started out working at Sam Adams and selling beer, and then moved into marketing as the company grew and had a great experience there, and went to work for Snapple. And then they were purchased by a bigger company. So then I started to work on brands like Dr. Pepper and 7-Up and Squirt and Crush and Sunkist and Hawaiian Punch and Mott's. And the organization was wonderful. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to say I don't ever drink soda, but I personally had a point in my life where I wanted to use what I consider my gift, whether it's a gift or not is questionable, but I consider it a gift to be able to market products and be able to understand what motivates consumers. And I didn't want to market products anymore that I didn't believe were leading to a healthier nation. For me personally, I needed to change what I was trying to help sell. And so I went to work for a small organic and natural body care company called Kiss My Face in upstate New York, which was growing, and it was a nice experience. I was there for about 3 years, but I needed a bigger challenge, and then Organic Valley called, and I never imagined moving to Wisconsin, and my wife never imagined moving to Wisconsin, but we said, hey, what's the worst that can happen? We move there, and we don't like it. We move somewhere else. And the best thing that can happen is what happened. And I found a place where I am totally passionate about what we're doing. I have a group of people that loves what they're doing. And we have a brand that is working to change the way our society eats. And we have what's awesome about the organic industry is we work together as companies. So when you work for a big corporation in this country, you're not sitting down at the table with your competitors or with the other brands. In the organic industry, you know, we're sitting down regularly with Stonyfield and Nature's Path and Annie's, and we're all working together and funding things together to help educate people about organic. We're like, okay, it's all for one and one for all, and the reality is if more people eat organic, we'll all benefit. So let's share as opposed to try to cut each other down.
Going from beer to organic food is quite the leap, so have to believe it.
Beer to organic food is a leap. The part that isn't a leap is at Sam Adams, we thought we were changing the world. And I believed we thought we were changing the way people drank beer. We believed that beer drinking could be a different experience than just guzzling beers to get drunk. And in the same way, we are at Organic Valley, we believe we're changing the world through organic food and through supporting family farmers. So the products are different, but the passion and at both companies feels really similar.
You are listening to Take Note on WPSU. Our guest is Lewis Goldstein, the Vice President of Brand Marketing for Organic Valley, a farmers collective that sells dairy, produce, and meats that were produced without the use of pesticides or antibiotics. Coming up, he talks about GMOs and why he believes food companies should be required to label products that are genetically modified.
The title of your lecture at Penn State is called Building an Organic Food Brand Against All Odds. Why is it named that?
Because the organic industry is challenging many parts of our society. There's a lot of money and a lot of big corporations and a lot of human behavior that is being challenged by organic food and our or local food or all of the different types of sustainable food movement. And one could argue that you'd be crazy to try to challenge these huge companies with huge amounts of money. And it stretches not just, it's not just food companies. We're challenging some of the biggest companies in the world that manufacture pesticides, some of the biggest companies in the world that manufacture antibiotics. You know, I've been called crazy and or a hippie or whatever term they use to try to say what you're doing isn't, doesn't make sense. And I have my friends who, you know, will say to me, oh, I don't buy that stuff. It's just too expensive. It's just a waste of money or it's a ripoff. Why should it cost so much? And I say, why should it cost so much? What do you think? What is going on when you can buy 20 chicken pieces at a fast food restaurant for $2? That's what's crazy. Just think about how is it possible you are getting good food for $2? And how can that possibly be good for you? Someone somewhere is either being exploited or something is not the best quality or somewhere along the line, cheap food. We look at cheap food in our culture as, yeah, we got a great deal. We ate all we could eat and we couldn't move for $10. And we should instead be saying, okay, what did I possibly eat that could be so cheap that they could give me so much food? And there's a lot of reasons to think that organic food could never really be successful. But the reality is it's hit a tipping point and there's no going back. And that's why you see big companies like General Mills and Coke and Kraft and all of these big companies getting into organic because they finally realized, okay, we can't fight them anymore. So if we can't fight them, let's join them.
You mentioned the importance of knowing where your food comes from. I read that your team was thinking about adding live video feeds to cows. So if someone was drinking Organic Valley milk, they could scan a code and see what the cow was doing at that moment.
Yeah, I think we're only beginning to figure out how, as I said, if we could bring every consumer to a farm, they'd be a consumer for life. If they could learn about organic farming, and not just dairy, but organic farming in general. So using technology to either teach kids or allow a consumer to escape for just a minute. You know, if you're living in a big city, you know, life sometimes can be tough. And I think, if we can offer our consumers a chance to escape for just a minute and see where their food comes from, it's a moment of happiness. I think the next step is going to be someone putting on some sort of Google Glasses or something and actually being on the farm and seeing where their food comes from. And the more we can do that, the more consumers will demand to know where their food comes from. Our goal is not to do it by denigrating other ways food is produced. Our goal, and I'm not saying we're always successful in doing it that way, our goal is to show how we do it. And if that resonates with consumers, which we believe it will, then we'll be successful.
So it does sound like it's turning marketing on its head a little bit.
I think the organic food world is turning food on its head. So we have to, as marketers, turn marketing on its head if we want to be successful. Again, we're going to compete against companies 10, 15, 20 times our size. And if we don't do something unique and we don't do it different and we don't take risks, we won't be here in 25 years so that the next generations of farmers can pass on their farms to their kids.
And was your goal when you joined Organic Valley to help expand organic food and move to more mass markets like Walmart instead of just more niche markets like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods?
My personal goal was to have as many people eat organic food as possible. And I know when we went into Walmart 10 years ago, there was a backlash from some of the people that had been drinking Organic Valley milk or buying the cheese or eggs for years and said, how could you dare go into Walmart? And our CEO said, we want to have as many people in the country drink organic milk and buy organic products as possible. And if Walmart can help us do that, then Walmart is where we'll be. And so We're now going into different drugstore chains. We want to be available in airports, on college campuses. The idea is to make it available where people need it so that the choice they can make can be as healthy as possible.
The fact that big retailers see the market for organic food has to be indicative of shifting values.
Big retailers love organic food because the organic food consumer spends a lot of money on food. The organic food consumer doesn't skimp and buy just what's on sale. They want the best food they can get, and they're willing to pay for it because they know the food is important. So the big chains, you know, like Wegmans is a great example of a retailer that really recognized the movement to healthier food years ago. And they're one of our key retailers, and as well as Giant and Weiss and a lot of other markets in this area. But, you know, these large retailers recognize that the growth in food is coming from healthier food today.
And looking to the future of organic food, some critics say that it's not sustainable to have all farmers become organic.
You know, our opinion is it's not sustainable to not have all farming organically, because the damage to our environment from conventional farming is immense. Genetically modified crops, the amounts of pesticides that are used on genetically modified crops are crazy, and the growth of that is crazy. And these are pesticides that have been linked to cancer, and it seeps into our water, and it's you know, sometimes fields are, you know, farms are right next to playgrounds. And so I think the critics would like to believe it's not sustainable to farm organically, and they say that you know, organic crops, they don't produce as much, or you know, they're not sustainable to the weather will affect them more. But the reality is there have been studies done that show that organic crops can withstand drought more than conventional crops. So, you know, I wish I could give a more scientific answer that was backed by research. But I believe it's that viewpoint is a view of stuck in the old ways, and we can't change. And with organic food only being 5% of our food supply, I don't think that argument is really the argument to have today. You know, at 5% of our food supply, it's just still infinitesimal of the food we eat.
And you mentioned GMOs, genetically modified organisms, which are genetic materials that have been artificially manipulated to have a certain characteristic. For example, corn that's been manipulated to be more resistant to pests. What is Organic Valley's view on GMOs?
Well, the USDA organic standards do not allow GMOs in food. So if you buy something with a USDA organic label, there are no GMOs. And we haven't done a good enough job as an industry educating consumers on that, because now they're looking for another seal that says non-GMO, when the reality is all they have to look for is the USDA seal. So today, all we are all looking for is to have food labeled that they have GMO ingredients. We're not saying, you know, although some of us may really believe that genetically modified crops are bad, and we don't need them in our food system, and the benefits don't outweigh the immense risks of all the pesticides that are applied to genetically modified crops. Even though we may believe personally, all we are looking for as a organic industry today is just to have food labeled so consumers can make a choice. We're looking for a simple on the ingredient panel, little on the ingredient panel, just to say GMO corn. So in 65 countries around the world, they don't allow GMO crops. Countries that we may look at and say, those countries don't have the same values as us, Russia, China, they don't allow genetically modified crops. And so all we're looking for is it to be labeled. And why is big agriculture and the food companies so afraid to label what's in their food? And we all know the answer. because it's in our gut of why they're afraid to label it, because they don't want consumers to know. Because if consumers know, then they'll question more. And when consumers question more, then the curtain's going to go up on some of the practices of how food is manufactured and where food comes from in our country. And we're not going to be happy with everything we see.
So on the other hand, there have been things in the news that the FDA has approved genetically modified salmon, for instance.
Right.
So it seems like their official position is that there's not harm in GMOs, and scientists agree with that, but you're saying you just want people to be educated to make those decisions for themselves.
I personally believe there's harm. So I personally believe, and a lot of people in the organic industry believe, in our gut, even though we may not have the millions to spend on research, we personally believe that if something we're eating is sprayed with a known carcinogen, which is glyphosate, is the pesticide, that I don't want to eat that food. I personally believe that it just makes common sense. And what's happened now with genetically modified crops is they've become resistant to the glyphosate. So the cancer-causing pesticide that's been used for years, these crops have now become resistant to it, and they've gotten approval for a stronger pesticide called 2,4-D, which is a cousin to Agent Orange. So that's the new pesticide that's going to be used on the corn for the cow that's going to eat that, and then it's going to become a hamburger that you buy in a restaurant or in the store.
On that note, what do you think is the most worrisome aspect of the food system in the United States?
Good question. I believe that the most worrisome part is pesticides that we are ingesting, whether it's directly ingesting on fruits and vegetables or ingesting through what an animal eats. So, you know, it's a poison. I have a little girl that's going to be 2, and we are so neurotic about making sure if there's mouse traps in the house or something that the dog can't get it and the baby can't get it. And if someone's spraying their lawn with pesticides, we make sure the dog can't go over there to get sick. But then we eat food that has been sprayed with pesticides and we somehow magically think that those pesticides are not part of the food we're eating. And so I believe that I can't prove it. But I believe that we're going to learn over the years that a lot of the allergies we're seeing, a lot of the different diseases we're seeing, we're going to be able to attribute to things we're eating and or environmental things that we're breathing in and stuff. And the more that we learn and the more that we understand and the more money that we have as an organic industry to fund that research, because we don't have, you know, we don't have the money that these huge multinational companies have to do research. But I think we also can trust our guts, because we know what's right and what's wrong.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Lewis Goldstein, Vice President of Brand Marketing for Organic Valley. Goldstein gave a lecture at Penn State University Park as part of the College of Communications Arthur W. Page Center Professional in Residence program. Organic Valley is an underwriter of NPR programming. For Take Note, I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.